It is a great pleasure to welcome to Best Ideas 2022, Jim Rumel and Bryce Fetter. Jim is president of Rumel Asset Management. He entered the securities industry in 1986. Before founding the firm in 1998, Jim was a registered principal at Raymond James Financial Services. He's a frequent contributor to MOI Global and has been featured in numerous publications such as Barron's, Kiplinger's, Value Investor Insight, and the Washington Post. Jim is also listed and quoted in The Art of Value Investing, How the World's Best Investors Beat the Market. Jim was selected to participate in and won two consecutive Wall Street Journal stock picking contests. He's also a board member and serves on the investment committee of Amalgamated Casualty Insurance Company. Jim is a graduate of Wayne Street University in Detroit, Michigan. And I'm sure everyone listening to this call has seen at least one, if not many more, of Jim's past contributions to the MOI Global community, which have been terrific. And so I very much look forward to this presentation today as well. Joining Jim for this session is Bryce Fetter, as I mentioned, who has done deep research into the company that Jim will discuss today. And I'll let you, Jim, introduce Bryce a little bit more. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it to both of you. Please go ahead.
Thanks, John, and thank you once again for inviting us. I think this is about my fifth year, and so look forward to it every year, so thank you for the invitation. A little different this year in that I think for the first time, bring in a co-host, if you will, because we happen to have had last summer a particularly special intern in a young man named Bryce Fetter. We you know, obviously in looking at technology and particularly a browser, it's something that young people are much more attuned to in terms of the bells and whistles being added to independent browsers. And Bryce basically took Opera's browsers for a ride for us and came back with just incredible firsthand information and knowledge of the functionality and attributes of the Opera browser. So I wanted him at some point, I'll bring him on to actually talk about what he learned from using the Opera browser, which he was understandably unfamiliar with before, because it's a browser primarily used in Asia and in particularly Africa. The story is actually a fairly simple one. Number one, the company is debt-free. Number two, it has roughly $200 million of cash on the balance sheet. So we have a rock-solid balance sheet. We have no debt. We have a single business, a browser business, which we'll talk about, that has been growing at about 40% for the past 2 years in terms of top line search and search and advertising revenue. And then we have three distinct, as I like to say, shots on goal from three JVs that they've invested in, one of which they partially monetized in 21, which will help underscore, I think, the conservatism that underlines the company's accounting. So it's basically, John, a situation of adding up the cash, a conservative valuation of these three discrete JV investments, and then backing into what we're effectively paying for the browser. And we think we're paying effectively $100 million for the browser, of which in 21 we'll have had estimated revenue of $250 million. Albeit at a 10% EBITDA margin, which is a trough margin, still generated $25 million of EBITDA because of a number of investments they made. And we think it's basically a 35% margin business over the next couple of years, EBITDA margin. So effectively, we think we're paying 1x, maybe, 23 EBITDA multiple. So that's kind of high level. Let's go into some of the pictures. I should say at a very high level, Opera is now, as they indicate, the most downloaded independent browser. There is a major shift going on. I shouldn't say major. There is a shift going on from standardized browsers that we're all accustomed to browsers of choice with particular attributes and functionality. Attributes and functionality that Bryce will discuss more. The company now has over 350 million users. 74 of those are PC users, nearly 300 million mobile. The business is basically advertising and search. They are not competing with Google's algorithm. In fact, they just re-signed. Now, they've had a relationship with Google since 2021, I believe, or excuse me, 2000 or 2001. It's been 20 years. They just renewed it. So they basically use and repurpose the search function of Google's algorithms, and they share in the advertising and search revenue that comes from the search function of the browser. As I mentioned, they have some non-core joint investments that we think have significant unrecognized value. The company was founded in Oslo in 1995. We think there are some reasons why the company is as cheap as it is. It has a Chinese founder, even though it's domiciled in Norway. But I can tell you that we have spent a lot of time talking to the company. We've gotten familiar talking to the co-CEO, the CFO. And one thing that I should say in terms of where we got this idea, typically a question you ask, John, and I think it's a very important one. It came from someone we've known for a long time. He was the prior IR person at Opera, a gentleman by the name of Derek Newman, who I got to know for many years when he was head of IR and business development at TiVo. So that really, for me, was very important in getting over any kind of concerns that I think generally are out there in the street of, what's this company with a Chinese founder, headquartered in Norway, what's that all about? So Derek left the company last year, but he is where I got the idea. And again, I've known him for a long time and know that he wouldn't have joined a company that he didn't believe had a lot of integrity. Derek's been replaced by Matt Wolfson, and I would encourage anyone who's really interested in the story to reach out to Matt, because they have a great presentation and he's done a great job taking over for Derek. Less than 1% of the shares are sold short. So there's no short thesis out there that's kind of waiting in the wings. As I mentioned, the browser, primarily Africa, Asia ex China. These are places where that particularly take advantage of Opera's mini browser, which is uses much less data. So data is it's not like here where data is, all you can eat. So in places like Africa, where you're basically having to pay for data, you want a browser that is very kind of data conservative. And so Opera has designed that around that customer base there. They are actively looking to expand into North America. You'll be hearing from a recent addition to that group. Opera News, which is one of the features. So when we talk about features and attributes to these browsers, which Bryce will get into, one of them is Opera News, just no different than you kind of have Apple News. And so it's an additional source of ad revenue because as you're using Opera News, you're reading through the news article, and in the middle is an ad, and so it's additional ad revenue. They basically rebranded Opera News in North America, not wanting to confuse it with Opera, the musical format. So they rebranded it Apex, and it is now, according to them, recently ranked number 3 in terms of news app downloads on Android. So Opera News is a again just a another extra functionality to the browser, bringing in additional revenue. As I mentioned, it was just in December of 21 that Opera renewed its agreement with Google. These are just a couple pictures of different browsers, for all different types of functions. I think Bryce will, in particular, draw people's attention to the GX browser, which is particularly attractive to gamers. And I'll let him talk about that because I'm not a gamer. But as you can see, there's browsers for basically every kind of format. The company has basically, again, the two most recent kind of new functionalities to basically driving, what we're effectively doing is just driving demand to use the browser and making more money on search and advertising. I mean, that is the business. And these bells and whistles are simply ways to drive people to using a more a less standardized browser and one that has more specific attributes to people's particular needs and uses. They do recently launched an in-browser e-commerce functionality, supporting couponing activities under the brand Diffy in Europe. So this is a new initiative. But the initiative that we think has the most real kind of upside is the gaming initiative, which evidently makes for a very attractive browser for gamers. Okay, so before getting into the separate investments, we've just now talked about the browser business. Actually, let me go through the other quick investments, and then we're going to come back, Bryce, to highlighting the functionality of the browser, and we'll just kind of complete the story because I think the backing into the valuation is very important. So again, Opera has three joint ventures. They're minority shareholders. These are just investments they made. But I think interestingly, they really underscore their capital allocation skills. So not only have they developed a browser that has been growing at a 40% CAGR for the past 2 years, and by the way, estimate the same for 22. And but the real switch is that they feel a lot of the investments that have been made over the past 18 months that drove EBITDA margins down to 10% in 21 are now really kind of increasingly behind them. And they're going to get a much higher lift. In fact, in the last quarter, the fourth quarter, they're estimated to have an EBITDA margin of 18%, approaching 20%. They think it's again a normalized 35% EBITDA margin business. But OPay is one of these joint venture investments. It's the largest mobile money provider in Nigeria. It's been growing, and I think the big thing to recognize here is that OPay was partially monetized through a capital raise in 2021. So Opera sold 29% of its interest, and they brought in $50 million. Now, when you're talking about a company, public company, carrying investments in private companies, it obviously comes to mind, well, what are they carrying them at? How are they carrying them? And I think this really underscores the extent to which Opera is working extremely hard to gain credibility as a very conservatively run and managed company. So the $50 million that they sold their 29% stake for was carried on their books for 19. So they got a factor of basically 175% of the carrying value. They continue to own 6.4%, which you can see from the capital raise number, the $2 billion, we just simply back into $130 million retaining value. So we think this OPay transaction likely suggests that the carrying value for the other two investments, StarMaker and NanoBank, are more likely than not also undervalued, although we don't make that assumption. We just use their carrying value, but we are of the belief that they are more likely than not worth more than their carrying value, given the recent experience with OPay. StarMaker is a fast-growing, technology-driven social media company, music entertainment. You can make these kind of joint videos with your family, singing songs. And, I've got neighbors who use this stuff all the time. And, you can turn yourself into a musical star. It's 100 million users globally now. Opera owns almost 20% of StarMaker. Current revenue run rate, $230 million, 20% net income margin. Here we're assuming $300 million in revenue, which should be achieved within 6 months of the company's growth rate. So on this one, on StarMaker, this is the only one that we give it actually a little bit more value than the company's value, because we've done a decent amount of work on StarMaker and the growth rate, and there are some comps to look at. And we valued it basically 3x revenue. So an implied Opera value of $175 million. I'm not sure what their carrying value is off the top of my head, but we've done a decent amount of work in StarMaker, and it's just, growing like a weed. And we think the 3x is a conservative number. On NanoBank, which is focused on microlending, we carry at their estimated fair value of $660 million. NanoBank basically is a micro lender, AI-based credit scoring. Very important to understand that they do not leverage their balance sheet. They are simply lending out their own capital. And these are very short-term loans. I spent a year in school in India, and a typical loan might be to a rickshaw driver who needs $10 on Monday, and he pays back on Friday, and he might pay back $11. So it might be 10%. If you annualize it, it looks usury, but it's really not when you think about the role it's playing. Basically paying a buck to get $10 in these markets for. I know rickshaw drivers are one source, but the business has done very well. They're now growing significantly in Egypt, Indonesia, and Mexico. India business has kind of been shut down because of some changes that have happened with the U.S.'s relationship with China and surrounding countries getting drawn in there. But so the real growing markets there now are Egypt, Indonesia, Mexico, Kenya. But again, they do not leverage their balance sheet. It's just straight lending. Business is done very well. We carry it at their carrying value. So if you basically then add up these three investments, OPay, done from a capital raise last year, StarMaker, our value of 3x revenue, and NanoBank, again, that's taken into account their percentage ownership of NanoBank, which is 42% of that 660, you get $580 million. Okay? So now let's go to the valuation. We have a $7.60 share price. We have 116 million shares, a market cap of almost $900 million. Almost $200 million in cash leaves us an enterprise value of just under $700 million. Three JV investments at 580. I think more likely than not, undervalued, leaving an implied value for the browser of $109 million. So for that $109 million, let's talk about the browser business just for a moment. I think some of these points I've made, but revenue in 2021, basically 50% year-over-year growth. Company continues to believe that those growth expectations will continue. Again, they made some strategic decisions to invest heavily in new initiatives and scale. This is management. This is not us going on record very firmly of their belief of normalized 30 to 40% EBITDA margins. And so when you apply that over the next few years, we expect revenue to grow it, you know, minimally 20% annually. We're cutting it down from recent estimates. So assuming $300 million in revenue, which should be exceeded next year, 35% EBITDA margin will likely not occur in 22. It's probably more of a 23 number. But you can see it's not hard to get to $105 million EBITDA, which now we're talking basically one times for a browser that is described as the single most downloaded independent browser out there. And we think there, for the reasons, some of the reasons Bryce will talk about, there's a growth in more specific functionality type browsers that give users a lot more specific functionality to their needs. So if you do the math, the sum of the parts, cash, investments, browser at 10 times that EBITDA number, we come up with $1.8 billion or $16 a share. So a pretty straightforward sum of the parts. You can play with the numbers on the browser expectations. If they, you know, if they grow in 22 what they grew in 21, then our 20% annual growth rate is going to be way under. You can play with what, you know, EBITDA number when they get to that 35%. And you can also play with what multiple you want to put on that. So a pretty straightforward story, three investments, cash rich, debt free, in a growing browser. With that, let me now hand it over to Bryce to actually talk about what he found so special in using the Opera browser. And I can assure you, he knows this browser and its functionality much better than I do. Bryce?
Yes, thank you, Jim. And thank you, John, for having me here today. So like Jim was saying, I've done a lot of research and playing around with the Opera browsers and to really understand how they work. And there's kind of two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the features within the Opera browser that really differentiates Opera from a lot of other browsers. And then I want to talk about Opera GX and kind of what that brings to the table for people who are really into gaming and why that's such a special browser. But to start off, the regular Opera browser has a ton of integrated features that on most other browsers you'd have to download an extension for or go to an external website. So for example, especially in today's day and age, when you want to message, there's a lot of messaging through social media. That could be Instagram, that could be Twitter, that could be WhatsApp, that could be Messenger. But a lot of people communicate with other people through these social media platforms. And what's really cool about Opera is on your homepage, which on Opera is called a speed dial, You have all of these chatting systems integrated in. So instead of going to the external website like Facebook or Instagram, by the click of a button, you can be chatting with your friends or family through whatever social media service you want. Similar to that, another cool feature or bell and whistle that they have is this thing called Player. And it's similar to Messengers in the way of instead of having to go to your external application like Spotify or Apple Music, right there by the click of a button, you're able to play your music. So this is really about the convenience for the user. Another thing is your crypto wallet. And this one's really cool. The crypto wallet is integrated into the browser as well. And it's a way to buy or sell cryptocurrencies while you're in the browser. And one thing that I think, and I don't know, this is just kind of me speculating, but I think crypto could be a big thing in the future, as we've seen it grow over the past few years. And I think the ability to have that Opera having a crypto wallet integrated into their browser already may make it possible in the future to be able to spend your crypto on different products, which I think could be a really cool advancement that Opera adds to their browser. So those are kind of the top three things I want to talk about on the browser. There's many more things on the browser and that I could talk about, like Jim, you were saying earlier, the Opera News. There's a really cool Opera News system. There's a battery saver. So there's a ton more, but those are really the kind of three things I want to highlight. And then as far as Opera GX, like Jim said as well, it's meant for gamers. They target the gaming market. So all the people who are really into gaming, they need a way to they need a way to limit RAM and network usage and clean their past history and other data from browsing the web. And I know that's kind of hard to understand, but basically what that means is when you're gaming, the most important thing is the game, and you want to eliminate all the other distractions. So by putting 100%, putting 100% of your computers focused on the game you play gives you much better graphics, faster speed. It gives you a better quality game overall. And what Opera GX has is all these features where you can limit the RAM, where you can limit your network usage. So similar to the standard Opera browser, instead of having to use five different applications and five different extensions just to be able to play your game, it's all right there in the gaming browser for you. They also have some other small features in the GX, like a fast way to stream. A lot of people, when they're gaming, like to have a way to stream what they're doing so other people can watch. That's connected in there too. They have a VPN in there as well. So Opera GX really is built for the gamer. Oh, and in addition to all that, Opera GX has all the same qualities that standard Opera browser has as well. So those are the two big things that I had for the Opera browser and Opera GX.
Thanks, Bryce. That's a great overview. One thing I would mention from the old guy's perspective is the browser allows you multiple avenues to browse. How do I say that more articulately? You can have within the same browser on the Opera site, you can have a work browser and your personal browser, so that your history, if you want to look at, you know, all the things you've kind of opened up, you have a work one and you have a personal one. Have you seen that elsewhere, Bryce?
I have seen that. Actually, recently I have seen that elsewhere. I actually noticed it on Chrome lately. That used to be just an Opera thing. And it's a very cool feature. The ability to add as many they're called workspaces. You can add as many of them as you want. You can have a personal, a business, a shopping, and it just really helps with organization. I did see that Chrome is starting to do that now as well, but yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Yep. I'm going to, John, go to just a couple final items here in terms of senior management, which I think is important. The chairman and co-CEO, Yaowei Zhao, is located in China. We have not spoken to him, by the way. There is a 2016 post-acquisition of Opera interview with him, where the link is provided there. We have spoken to Song Lin a number of times. He's the co-CEO since August of 2020. He previously was the COO. He's long been located in Norway. And again, that's where the company was founded. Frode Jacobsen is a terrific CFO, Norwegian. We have spoken to Frode many times. We've gotten extremely comfortable in our discussions with both Frode and Song Lin. Again, I should say that this idea came from someone we've known for over 10 years. We really believe the company's leadership is competent, honest, and focused on maximizing shareholder value. They're frustrated that, particularly with the monetization of OPay occurring at such a premium to their carrying value, and the growth in their browser, they're candidly dumbfounded by where the stock is trading. But they're going to, you know, continue just hitting the ball the way they're doing it. Opera's financial statements are audited by KPMG. So there is a lot of good disclosure. One of the concerns about this security is that the founder, co-chairman, Yao Zhao, owns 64% of the company. So there is small publicly traded float. That you just have to kind of deal with. So if you're a bigger shop, you're really going to need to take a look at how big of a position you're going to be able to take. The company does not need to raise capital, so there is no sell side coverage, and we think that's obviously also one of the things contributing. There is no one selling this stock because they don't need money. They will be attending Needham's investment conference, and I believe that is next week. And this is very uncommon for them, but I believe, yes, they're going to be on Tuesday at 9:15 at Needham's conference. But there is no sell side coverage currently. Zhao has effectively been buying stock, given his ownership in Kunlun Tech. Which is the largest shareholder. And so, you know, he is absolutely putting his money where his mouth is. Last big purchase was for $16.5 million at $8.50. That's a dollar above where the company is now. So in our view, Opera, John, classic Rommel investment story, well-capitalized, debt-free, multiple shots on goal, can be purchased cheaply. That's the story.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Jim and Bryce. Really compelling case that both of you laid out here. Maybe just a few questions on the browser itself. Nothing too specific, but I'm kind of, you know, surprised or impressed that with the relatively small resources of this company compared to, let's say, a Google, with a Chrome browser, that they've been able to, you know, put all these features into the browser. So how would you think about just kind of the robustness of the browser? I mean, do you have confidence that it's actually as secure as, let's say, a Chrome browser?
That's a really good question, John, and I don't want to I don't want to float an uninformed answer. The browser has been built not for North America, so it is grown in other parts of the world. I can't, and again, one of their big pushes is to really introduce this into North America. I don't have any specific knowledge really that I could grab onto to say why it would be any less or more secure. So I don't have a good answer for that. In terms of the search function, again, they're basically repurposing Google's algorithm. But I don't know. I don't know if you have any thought on that, Bryce, but I assume that if there was a material problem, it would have occurred way before they got to 350 million regular users.
Yeah, I agree with what that's I was thinking what you were kind of saying. I think they knowing that they use Google's search engine, I think their searching capability, I think they're searching like the actual search engine is certainly protected. But I wish I had a better answer, but I don't know for the for kind of the external or the extra features.
And could
it's,
you
prove- it's a tech. This is very much a tech company, so I'm gonna guess that they've got that well covered. But I don't want to say something without strong evidence. But I think if anybody wants to, when they follow up with the company, if they choose to do so, that would be a great question to ask. And I'm confident there's a solid answer. Because I just don't think the growth would have occurred had they been having kind of mini fires, so to speak.
Right. Could you just provide a little more color or a somewhat of a breakdown of the browser revenue? Where is that coming from?
Good question. It's basically 50-50 search versus advertising. So, you know, someone using the Opera browser, basically, you know, that the search revenue and you know, puts in phishing gear, they're going to basically, they're in some type of rev share deal with Google in terms of the search functionality. And then in terms of the advertising revenue that is populated through searching too, through someone landing on a page, that's also shared. So their revenue, that $250 million is basically 50-50. I think in the most recent quarter, it was like 52 to 48, but it's basically 50-50 is the way I would think about it.
And so Jim, does that revenue then kind of come from Google? I mean, is Google disclosed as a large customer then?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if there is, if on the Opera news page though, how much is non-Google related, from their own products? I don't think they break out and they're relatively new, but if you're using Opera news and you're looking at one of their ads from Opera news or you're using GX, These kind of new initiatives are really going to be Opera specific, to my knowledge. I mean, they are built in features that you're using. You're not using the Google algorithm. You're using basically an Opera created product.
The growth in revenue is really impressive in the last year. How do they actually kind of grow the user base? Is that word of mouth? Is it, do they advertise? How do they get new adoption?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. And remember, while revenue really grew dramatically from 20 to 21, the actual EBITDA was $25 million. So it was 25 and 20, 25. So in other words, the EBITDA margin went from 15 to 10%. What they're really expecting is that these investments have kind of put them in play and that there is some growth kicker occurring and that the spend, you know, that a lot of the things that are drawing people to the browser are kind of increasingly getting out there. But I think it's, you know, I think it's kind of the kind of network effect of the internet. You know, Bryce tells a few of his his friends who are gamers, who he did. And it's like how these types of businesses are built. It's, hey, did you try this? And, but clearly they invested both in product development and marketing, and they are signaling very clearly that they believe the bulk of their investments in terms of functionalities are kind of behind them and basically now sunk costs, and they should begin to really begin to benefit. I mean, like I said, in the I think the estimate for the fourth quarter, and we'll see, is an 18% EBITDA margin, up from overall year of basically 10. So we're going to be able to, very, very, in 22, John, it's going to become apparent whether they're getting the benefit, in terms of the margin expansion from the investments. They've continued to maintain two things: that they are growing fast, and they expect EBITDA margins to expand because their investments have largely been done. And so that's going to be, that to a big extent is the bet here. Now, what I like about it is obviously the price. I think we're basically paying next to nothing for the option. And I think given the way that OPay was so significantly undervalued, I think StarMaker, by the way, is going to be, in my view, the next likely monetization. And I think it, even though we're carrying it at three, I think it could be through the people we've talked to, could be much higher. There is really private capital demand for businesses like StarMaker, which are huge. I guess you'd call it a social community, right, Bryce? It's a social network community that just continues to build. And so it is precisely the type of business that private equity loves right now. Very scalable, hugely scalable. And then once you've got all this big community, you can leverage it in lots of different ways. And I think there's three investments really underscore, Yaowei Zhao's capital allocation skills, in addition to having, built a browser that is now, generating $250 million a year in revenue and has 350 million users. So, and by the way, John, it is not at all unusual, because of where you are, that you would be unfamiliar with Opera. So, the question of whether they will kind of succeed in becoming a more North American used browser, I'm kind of agnostic on. It's really not part of my, I think the parts of the world that they're in where they seem to have much more brand power and they are well situated because they use less data, and it's, if someone were to use Google in Africa, Google Doc, it's going to just chew up data, and these are people who are paying on a data basis. So the notion of whether they're going to succeed kind of with getting people like Shaq to do a commercial about the Opera browser, I'm pretty agnostic about that. I don't a flip of the coin for me, but I trust them after having talked to them enough times that if they don't get a return on investment, they'll stop. Zhao owns 64% of the company. He doesn't look like someone who's going to throw good money after bad.
So the browser itself is generating EBITDA. They have a net cash position. And as those three JV investments get monetized, I guess they're going to be sitting on a lot of cash.
A lot of cash.
What do you expect them to do with that cash? Have they talked about that?
Well, we've had active conversations with them about the stock buyback. They are very clear that these three investments are, you know, non-core. I mean, they're investments. Again, given the dramatic growth in StarMaker, given the particular market for those types of businesses now, I think that's the most next likely hit. You know, we would like to, you know, the situation they're in, of course, and why they're, you know, we would probably push now for more of a capital distribution is, you know, the float is not great now, right? So you don't really want to reduce the float. You've got, you know, co-founder owning 64% of the stock. Some people like me take some comfort in that. Other people, you know, going to run for the hills, and that's fine. You know, I think they could, you know, they could invest in trying to, you know, grow the browser business if they think there's a return on investment and maybe really making a bigger push into North America. We spoke to them about a buyback last year with the post the OPAY $50 million. And I should point out, by the way, on all three of these investments, because of where they're domiciled, these are tax-free. So the $50 million that they took in from OPAY had no tax on them. One is domiciled in Cayman and one in Hong Kong, I believe. So very, very tax efficiently structured. But I can't really, given that they really did not want to use the OPAY money to reduce the float, which makes sense, it's going to be, you know, building out the browser business, or which I don't dismiss at all, a special dividend. I mean, they're very attuned and candidly frustrated that they have not gotten more respect. And I think they are ultimately shareholder friendly. I think they very much want to return capital to investors, and we think they're going to figure out a way to do it.
Okay, terrific. Well, I think I'll leave it there, Jim. I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with you on this idea and maybe get Bryce involved as well if need be. Certainly a very, very interesting idea. And as you said, a classic Rumel investment with multiple shots on goal. So thank you very much.
And no sell side coverage.
Exactly. That's what we like.
Thank you, John, very much. And Bryce, I want to thank you for joining me. Bryce was just one of our really star interns, and we've had many of them over the years. So I want to thank you for joining us today, Bryce, and really spelling out some of the differentiating factors of Opera's browsers.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bryce, for talking about the browser. That was extremely helpful insights from you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim and John. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.